It's Wednesday, May the 26th, 2021, 8:33 a.m. I have not yet started to write this morning, which is not exactly true, but what I've been writing this morning hasn't been anything in the work in progress. So, yeah, I got a request for a short biography. So between last night and this morning, I wrote a 2,000 word essay starting in 1970. It's an interesting exercise. One of the things that I have, one of the many things, it's easy for me to lose sight of the fact that I graduated from high school in 1970. So last year was 50 years, half a century. Every once in a while I remember that when I was born, there was no space age. There were only 48 states. Which makes me sound like a, you know, kind of like a crotchety old man, but you know, the side of it is that I get, every once in a while, I get almost overwhelmed by the sense of wonder that so much has changed over the course of just my life. like the time period of just my life, 68 years long now, so far, is rather a long time. And I was, this is in conjunction with something that's going on in ConvertKit, this biography. They're going to do a feature about me. Because I've been pretty critical of ConvertKit. Their service is good. What they're doing with the community is really, really interesting. But the problem is why? Why? Why do people join ConvertKit? Why do people turn to ConvertKit as a business solution? It's not for the community, it's for the email. So at the moment they're suffering pretty badly from not enough people actually active in the community in ways that are conducive to fostering engagement among the members of that community. I've talked about this before. But as I was thinking back over it and trying to think of, okay, what lesson have I learned that might be valuable to the ConvertKit community? And it's that not all creators are 30, 40 years old, struggling to turn their side hustle into their day job so that they can earn $1 million before they're 40, retire before they're 50, whatever. So many of the people who are in ConvertKit so many of the offerings offered to ConvertKit cater to this idea that, well, yeah, you know, if you have a good idea and a viable email list, you can make a living at it. And yes, it's true. And the same kind of caveats apply to that thinking that apply to any publishing. That publishing is governed by not by normal distribution, but by power law curves. And we tend to think in terms of, well, sure, not everybody, but the average person, which is, yeah, not really how that works. It's not really how that works. Now, it is true that because the internet has in many ways extended the tail, the much vaunted long tail, so that people who can't get a, quote, commercial audience, unquote, can perhaps find one that is small enough but still be sustainable. That's kind of the way I look at my publishing. I really need to check. I for a long time I thought I was over 250,000 books published, but that's not true. The last time I looked, which was sometime last year actually, it was 188,000 units since I took over selling books in 2012, when I took over from Ryden. It's only been like 188,000 books. Just still. It's still about 10,000 units per. And the reality is that the older books have actually sold more because they've been in the market longer. The newer books have sold less because they haven't been there that long. In 10 years, some of the older backlist items will still be selling books. The currently new backlist items will still be selling books. And hopefully 10 years from now, I'll still be publishing new books. But the power law curve applies to all sorts of this kind of effort. So the top 10%, technically I think anything where Pareto analysis would say 20% accommodates, 20% of the effort accounts for 80% of the result. The top 10% of newsletter people are going to be getting at least 80%, if not 90%, of all of the revenues generated from newsletter activity. And the question is, then becomes, so what? That's a lawnmower. In case you couldn't tell, that's a lawnmower. Alright, that seems like it's fading enough now. Okay, who made this fence? This is a pretty fence. I wonder if he did it himself. That was the place where somebody had knocked down a phone pole and run into his fence and broken it all out. So anyway, long tail. The question is how much is enough? How much is enough? It's a really big pie. It's a really big pie. So even fractional percentages of it are, in raw numbers, pretty big. Same with ebooks. Same with publishing in general, but ebooks in particular. It's a really big number. It's a really big number. So fractional percentages of that number are pretty big. And when you can get down to detail, they become bigger. Come up on a get ready, stay with me, one post. The percentages become bigger. The actual numbers really don't change that much. If you look at the billions and billions of dollars that Amazon brings in, you just restrict it to books, it's still billions and billions of dollars. You restrict it to just Kindle, it's still billions and billions of dollars. Well, all right, maybe only billions of dollars. How much of $1 billion do you need for it to be worth doing? The thing that always has kind of irked me about ConvertKit is that a lot of their offerings have to do with how to get more people on your list. And they seem somewhat deaf to the idea that that's a bit of a problem. I have a problem with that. And largely because what they're doing is trying to convince us to buy more of their product. I don't have any problem with that. But the problem I have with it is that it seems to be the only point they want to make is that bigger is better. And I've even talked to them directly about this. I said, you know, bigger is not better. Bigger is different. Responsive is better. Responsive is better. If it costs me less to reach people who actually respond, that's a better return on investment than in paying four times more for people who might sometimes respond. Just from a logistical standpoint, that's I'm more willing to go, okay, let's pull this in a little bit. Let's think about what this is actually doing. Back to why. Why am I doing this? And the reason, of course, is that I'm not selling a product or service that is delivered over the internet, per se. So they're not going to... I'm not selling writing advice. I'm not a book coach. I give writing advice away. I'm an armchair book coach. I'll if you're an indie author, I'll read your book and maybe give you some tips on how to tighten it up or how to position it or where it should appear in the marketplace or looking for a better cover or whatever. Okay, we got people everywhere here this morning. 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 Here comes the guy without his little dog this morning. Good morning. So it's been an interesting journey with ConvertKit. It's coming up on the day of the month, and I have to decide whether I'm going to keep my commitment to the community alive, to keep it going. realistically, it only takes a couple of minutes a day. It's just one more thing I have to think about in the morning. I do get suckered in by the help forum questions. It seems to be my Achilles heel. It's like, ooh, I know the answer to that. Let me help you. And sometimes I don't. It's like, a lot of questions come by and they're like, yeah, I built a form in this tool and I'm trying to distribute it on that tool and I put it in my own account, but now I need to get the API key to work so that I can put all of the stuff together and have it get served by ConvertKit's email service. And I'm like, dude. I can't help you with that. My brand is boring and lazy. And that is nuts. That is just plain nuts. Some of them are like, okay, the answers are basically, let me Google that for you. There's quite frequently a knowledge base article answering that exact explicit question. And it takes like 10 seconds for me to find the answer. And people are like, well, this isn't doing me any good. Well, I can't help you with that. It's like, you asked a question. This is the answer. Is this feature available in one of the other tools? Answer? No. Well, that's not useful. Well, yes, may be more useful, but unfortunately, no is the answer. I can't help you with that. Maybe you rethink what you're trying to do. Maybe come at it from a different direction. Maybe what you're trying to do isn't really all that great an idea. I had any number of people suggest things that they wanted to do that were like, oh no, no, please. And those I usually don't answer. Once in a while I will get into one, but usually it's like, oh geez. Mostly nope. What am I reading? I mentioned it yesterday. Kef Breen. It's so much fun. Mystical midlife something. I don't remember what it is or what number it is. It's like, I don't know, book 4, book 5. I don't remember. Paranormal romance. There's a lot of tension, shall we say. A lot of tension. The paranormal romance is building. Hasn't had its, you should pardon the expression, climax yet. But it's interesting. I'm enjoying the hell out of reading it. It's fun. There's a lot of gratuitous magic crap going on. And I think about this one review for The Wizard's Butler. About how it's not really fantasy because the main character isn't magical. And I'm like, okay. But you know, every once in a while I think about that review. It's like, well, it's not really fantasy because the main character isn't magical. He doesn't do any magic. There's nothing magical that he does. He has no agency in this story. And yet the story's about him. You know, it's like, that's kind of the point. That was sort of the writing prompt. And so I pushed that characterization off to writing the story that needed to be written, not the story they wanted me to write. At any rate, I am at the back gate. It says 1 minute 20. Oh, okay, phew, 2039. I hope that today's recording went better than yesterday's. If not, that's probably something wrong with my headset and I'm gonna have to replace it, which would be difficult. Anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.